Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomin Adorim Daf Pei Beis. We are holding on Pei Aleph Amud Beis on the second line from the bottom of the Amud. Bo Minei Rava Merav Nachman. So we know that the Torah empowers a husband to apply hafara to a nether which was expressed by his wife, provided that nether falls under one of two categories. It pertains to inu nefesh. It's something which is annoying, something which is depriving her of something that she needs. In that case, his hafar is absolute. It is one of a permanent nature. It absolutely cancels the nether going forward, whether she's still married with him or even if she goes on to marry somebody else, that nether is batal. Whereas if the nether falls under the beinoi li beino category, it interferes with their interpersonal relationship, something which is more marriage-related, in that case, husband as well will have a koyach of hafara, but only of a more limited nature. It only affects the nether as long as she's with him, but after divorce, that nether sort of props back up and comes back to life. Now, we also know that Rabbi Yossi's interpretation, Rabbi Yossi's way of defining inui nefesh is way more limited than the Rabbanan's interpretation. Rabbanan apply a broader interpretation to the term inui nefesh. Refraining from showering, etc., is considered inu nefesh, which allows the husband to treat them as such. Whereas Rabbi Yossi disagrees, according to him, all these things are not considered inu nefesh. He has a limited definition of inu nefesh. In fact, as we learned yesterday, if she'll make an effort to refrain from interacting as married with her husband, that according to Rabbi Yossi, is not considered inu nefesh. Rather, it does constitute beinoi lebeino, which allows him to treat the nether as such, but it's not considered inu nefesh. What about according to the Chachamim? How do they treat this type of nether? That's today's sukkah. It says the Gemara on the second line from the bottom of the Yomid, Bo minei Rava merav Nachman, tashmesh hamita l'rabbonon. If an isha makes a nether to refrain from interacting as married with her husband, how do the Rabbonon classify this nether? Inui nefeshu? Does it fall under the umbrella of inui nefesh? It's a very intense deprivation. Or is it simply considered something of a more interpersonal issue? In which case, he can be mefer, but as we explained, it's a more limited type of afara. So is it considered deprivation for the isha, or is it more like an emotional deprivation, which is more of a relationship type of issue, which is called b'nei l'b'na, and not inu nefesh? Amalei Rav Nachman responds, I have a raya that is considered merely b'nei l'b'na. The Mishnah says, unetulo ani mina yehudim. An isha gets up and says, I'm making a nether to keep away interpersonally, as married, from all of Yehudim, all of Yisrael. She's a married woman, and she's making this nether which applies to all Yidim. What does husband do? Says the Mishnah, Yafer Chalka. He has the ability to cancel the aspect of the nether that affects him, that impacts him, umeshamashto, which allows her to interact with him physically as before. So that much he can do. But the remainder of that nether remains in place. Utehinatulam and ayudim. She still must keep away from interacting as married with other Yehudim. Meaning, suppose she divorces, the nether then props back up. That part of the nether was never affected by the hafara. There's the Mishnah, clearly indicating to us that this type of nether, noider from Tashmish Shamita, is not considered inu nefesh. It is only considered b'nei l'b'no, which allows him a limited hafara, only the aspect which pertains to him, as long as she's with him. That's Rav Nachman's raya. the amrus neder inui nefesh havi. If this type of commitment is called inui nefesh, amai tehei nitula mina yehudim. Why does the Mishnah say that the neder is still in place, intact, pertaining to everybody else? Shema mina. We see from here, in fact, that it's not considered inui nefesh. Otherwise, husband can just nullify it for all time, for all people. Rather, dvarim shebeinoy lebeinoy havyan. We treat it as beinoy lebeinoy, in which case, he can do hafara, but only a very limited hafara, the aspect which pertains to him. That's a raya to our shayla. Another from Tashmish Hamita is considered beinoy lebeinoy, and not inui nefesh. Is that a real raya? Says the Gemara, no, that's not a raya. Remember, we have machlekes tanoim. Sure, perhaps Rabbi Yosi is the one that authored this Mishnah, and he holds only something which is really an intense deprivation. This doesn't fall under that category, and this is not considered inyan nefesh. But according to Rabbanon, l'rabbanon tiboylach, we'll still have the same question, because they have a more broader way of defining inyan nefesh. Mishum dinetulu anim min hayudim, because this very Mishnah, which mentioned this halach of netulah min hayudim, guess who's speaking? Rabbi Yosi Ketanel, it's Rabbi Yosi speaking. How do we know? The Amar Rav Huna, as Rav Huna tells us, Kulei Pirkin Rabbi Yosi. This entire perek was authored by Rabbi Yosi. Mimai, how do we know that to be true? Take a look at that first Mishnah, the beginning of the perek. Kivan Niktani Rabbi Yosi Omer, Ein Elu Nidre Inu Nefesh. You see, the Mishnah speaks about an isho makes a neder against washing, etc. Tanakama says, that's inu nefesh. Rabbi Yosi says, well, not too terrible, you can manage. That's not called inu nefesh. So once we have those words, Rabbi Yosi Yomer, ein elu inu nefesh, then when Rabbi Yosi continues and says, well, I'll give you an example of inu nefesh. I can't have any peiros, etc., as we learned back in the beginning of the perek. Question. Why does the Mishnah find a need to once again repeat Rabbi Yosi's name at the end of the Mishnah? We already see it's Rabbi Yosi speaking. Rabbi Yosi says, Ein Elu Nidre Nefesh, this is not, but the following is. Then it says again. Well, the above was mentioned by Rabbi Yosi. Lama Leisum LaMishnah, why then does the Mishnah need to say it again? Hareza Yafer to Rabbi Yosi. In those cases which do constitute Inin Nefesh, that allows the husband Hafora, Divir Rabbi Yosi. These are the words of Rabbi Yosi. Why does the Mishnah need to mention Rabbi Yosi again? Shema mina, for only one reason, to teach us. Mikan ve'eloch Rabbi Yosi. Everything going forward in this perek, the 11th and final perek of Nedarim, is Rabbi Yosi speaking. And in fact, this Mishnah you quoted, which is in this perek as well, was authored by none other than Rabbi Yosi, and therefore it's not considered in an effish, because this type of abstaining is not considered an intense, depriving experience, and therefore it's not considered inu nefesh kontra Rabbi Yosi dafka. However, kontra Rabbanan, perhaps it would be considered, it would be classified inu nefesh. We don't know the answer. Here comes a new chiddush. Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel quotes Levi as follows. Let's go back to Shitas Rabbanan, who have a broad application of inu nefesh. Therefore, says Shmuel, kol nedarim, any nether which has an element of deprivation, Baal Mefer Lishte, that allows the husband to do hafara, chutz except min hana'asi aploni. If she makes herself usher upon somebody else, that fellow can't have enough from me. That's not b'nei l'b'na, not something that gets in the way of her marriage, that's not something which is considered a deprivation for the isha, and therefore, she'enoi mefer, in that case, husband can't do hafara. Aval, but here's the punchline. The above was rather simple, but here's the punchline, here's the chiddush, the second part of the halacha. In the following example, where it's only a limited deprivation, that too allows husband to do hafara. That's the chiddush. Aval hana'as plenty of life. She says, I can't have benefit from Reuven, a total, stranger, not her husband. His hana'as is asr on me? You never know. One day she might need to buy something from him, etc. Even a limited deprivation as such, falls under the umbrella of ilu nefesh. Avalanos plenty alai mefer, that allows husband to do afara, that too is considered ilu nefesh. Here comes the akasha. So now, let's take a look at the Mishnah, back in the beginning of the perek. which classifies for us what's considered inyan nefesh. Tanan peiros medina zualai. Well, all produce from this city, this province, is usher to me. Says the Mishnah, that's not called inu nefesh. You have other sources. Yavila mimdina acheres. Fine, husband will bring it from the other town. That's not considered inu nefesh. Question, what do you mean? There is at least limited deprivation there. There's some hardship she's imposing on herself. Why isn't that called inu nefesh? According to Shmuel, even that should be considered inu nefesh. Even a limited inu nefesh is considered. Amar Rav Yosef, no. She didn't make everything in this Medina Asr. Only under certain conditions. And therefore, it's not even considered a limited deprivation. Just avoid those conditions. What conditions? The Ka'amra Shatavi. Shatavi Ato is a Gersa. She says, look, I don't want you to trouble yourself to bring me, deliver the fruit. Any pears from this Medina, which you, my husband, bring for me is usher to me. So, there's an easy way out. Let her bring it instead of him. So that's not called Inin Nefesh, even according to Shmuel. Toshma, here comes another Rai, another Kasha. Pedro is Chenvon Ezeolai. Until she gets up and says, all fruit from this grocer are also to me. Ein Yachol Lafer. This too does not allow husband to do Afara. What do you mean? It's at least a limited deprivation, which according to Shmuel qualifies for Afara. Answer is, once again, it was only under certain circumstances. She says, my husband cannot deliver fruit from this chenvani. Okay, so let somebody else do it. That's not even called a limited deprivation and does not allow far fur. But the problem is the next part of the mission, which says, right? Let's go along, your way of thinking, your track. Let's pick up on your thread. She's making an usher only if you, my husband, deliver it for me, okay? So in the first two cases, no problem. Let somebody else bring it. And therefore, it does not allow hafara. But the Mishnah continues and says, in the following circumstance, hafara is justified. Husband, can only get his fruit from this chenvani. He gives it to him on credit, etc. Mishnah says, ha-reze yafar. If she disallowed the peres of this chenvani, she imposed a nether. Peres of this chenvani is usher to me. This allows hafara. What do you mean? I thought she's only making a limited nether. If you deliver it for me, let somebody else deliver it. I can still get from that chenvani if somebody else delivers it. Maybe the store will deliver it. Why does it allow hafara? Why is it called inin nefesh? Be amras the ka'amra. If, according to your interpretation, we are speaking strictly when she says shetavi ato. The peres of this chenvani are only also to me. If you, my husband, bring it to me, am I yafar? Why does that justify hafara? Let the store deliver it. Elo, rather, apparently, your interpretation is incorrect. When she said usher, she meant irrespective of who delivers it. And that's why he's allowed to do hafara, because he must get his peres from this fellow. And there's no way to get it. Elo medasefa, deloy maisi bal. Apparently, the fact that the last case, which allows hafara, because it's called deprivation, it's called making life impractical, is speaking that it wasn't limited to husband delivering, otherwise it would not be considered deprivation. The fact that the Mishnah considers it a candidate for Afara, justifies Afara, is considered in the nefesh speaking, apparently because it's not hinged on husband delivering it. It's also regardless. Delay Maisi Ba'alavi, Reisha Deka Maisahi, apparently the first two cases that we brought, it's also speaking under similar circumstances. It's not hinging on the husband's, delivering. Even if she brings it, she can't have those peres. And the Mishnah says, in the first two cases, he cannot do afara. What do you mean? Let's go back to that case. She says, peres of this Medina is usher to me. No matter who brings it, Baal cannot do afara. Why? She's depriving. It's certainly a limited deprivation, which according to Shmuel justifies hafara. Answers the Gemara, you're 100% right. El Reisha, Ein Yochel Hafer, But the Gomaisa, he right. In the first two cases, the Isser is irrespective of who delivers. Even if she delivers, it's Asr. And he still cannot do Hafara. Question. Shmuel says, Hafara is allowed in these cases. Oh, answer is, depends which Tana is speaking. Shmuel was speaking according to the Rabbanan, who allow for a much broader allowance when it comes to Inyan Nefesh. Even a limited, small time Inyan Nefesh is considered. Umas Nisan Rabbi Yaisi. Remember, Mishnah's Rabbi Yaisi. A limited Inyan Nefesh does not constitute. Umas Nisan Rabbi Yaisi. Dam Rav Huna. Kulipikin Rabbi Yaisi. As we just explained. Umay En Yachal Afara. When the Mishnah says you can't do Afara, Mishnah Inyan Nefesh, because he doesn't consider it Inyan Nefesh. If it's only a limited, you know, deprivation. There's another option. That's not called Inyan Nefesh. Aval Mefer. Mishum Nadar Mishum Ben El Beno. But of course, if it, you know, gets in the way of their marriage, it would be allowed. But the Mishnah is simply telling us it's not called Inyan Nefesh. Here comes another discussion. Amar Vida Mar Shmuel. Nadra Mishtei Kikris. Let's go back to the Rabbanon. Even a limited deprivation is considered Inyan Nefesh. So there are two loaves of bread sitting there on the table. You know, one of them is high quality bread, refined flour, in which case, you know, abstaining from that loaf of bread is considered a deprivation. It's considered inu nefesh. There's another loaf sitting nearby, which is made of coarse material. Not a big deal to refrain from that loaf of bread. Nadro mishtei kikrois, she made a nether against both of them. Ba'achas mis'ano, one of them is quite enticing, in which case refraining is considered an inui. Uba'achas ein mis'ano, the other one isn't quite tantalizing, in which case abstaining is not considered an inui. Husband has the ability to be mefir inui nefesh. The trick here is that although, you know, one loaf is not considered inui nefesh because it's not too enticing, but the other one is. So he has the ability to do afar on that. But it's really one nether with the other one. So what happens now? Is it only afara on half the nether? Or does it sort of you know, spread to the entire nether, which becomes batal? Says Shmuel Lechidish, it's all or nothing. Since he has the ability to do afara on that loaf of bread, which is enticing, likewise, his afara spreads to the other one as well. It's one deal. The Torah says the husband could do hafara on a nether, and it's one package. The pasuk says yifi renu, right? Yisha yifi renu. It's one thing. It's one package. It's either bottle completely or not bottle at all. That's Shmuel's shita, but we have a dissenting view. Rav Asi Amar Biyechanan, no. Mefer l'misan, no. Vein mefer l'she'en misana. Sure, he can do afara. To the aspect, to the element of the nether, which applies to that loaf of bread, which is pleasant tasting, which is enticing, which is considered inyan nefesh, if kept away from. But he cannot do afara on the other loaf of bread. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, even though the pasuk says isha yifirenu, the entire nether is one. What the Torah meant was, he has to be mefer, completely mefer, the aspect of inyan nefesh, which he can be mefer. Meaning, he can't say, you know, the high quality loaf of bread that is called inyan nefesh, I'm only be mefer half of that. That he cannot do. He must apply his afara to anything that he has the ability to apply the afara to. But he doesn't necessarily have to apply his afar to the other part of the nether, even though it's one nether. We can split the nether into two. The aspect of inyan nefesh can be impacted through his afar, but not the other part. This is another slightly different version of the way Rabbi Yechanan said his halacha. It wasn't Rabbi Asi quoting Rabbi Yechanan, rather it was boy minei Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yechanan the question. What happens if nader mishtei kikreis? She made a nether to keep away from two loaves, ba'achas misano, one of which is considered inyan nefesh, uba'achas ein misano, the other one which is not. Mahu, what happens? Amalei says, we split the deal. Mefer l'misano, vein mefer l'shein misano. Husband can do afara on loaf number one, but not on loaf number two. And Be'ezus Hashem will continue this discussion tomorrow. So today's daf had three aspects. One was the question of a neder against Tashin Shamita. What is that considered? According to Rabbi Yossi, that's B'nei L'B'na, which allows for limited hafara. What about according to Rabbanah? Perhaps it's considered Inin Nefesh, who left it as a question mark. Shmuel tells us that according to the Rabbanan, who have a broader interpretation of Inyan Nefesh, even a limited Inui is considered Inyan Nefesh, such as, I will not have enough from that other person down there. Maybe one day she'll need his services. That's considered Inyan Nefesh, which allows for Hafara, as other needs are Inyan Nefesh. Then an interesting Shiloh we had. What about two loaves of bread? One is enticing, one isn't. She made it one nether against both. Husband can do Hafara on the net, on the loaf, which she wants. But does that hafara affect the other loaf as well? Shmuel says yes. Yifrenu, it's one package deal. Rabbi Yechon says no. Yifrenu, on the aspect of the nether, which is considered inin nefesh, on that he can do a complete hafara. But the other part of the nether, just leave it intact. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabbah.